Hi, kids. Welcome to Bronco Land. We got some smart ones in the room.
The Horsin' Around podcast, the Vance Joseph is the new Broncos head coach edition. He, as we record this, it's a couple of hours removed from Joseph meeting the Denver area media for the first time, at least the first time as Broncos head coach. He surely talked to him back in the day when he was the quarterback for the CU Buffs. I'm Andrew Mason from Denver Sports 760 and the Broncos Radio Network. Andy Lindahl, pleasure as always, my friend.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm glad for a lot of reasons that the coaching situation is now resolved and came to a quick resolution. It helps you get a jump on the staff, and obviously Vance Joseph did say that he'd like to have the staff in place next week and a half, so you figure there's going to be some retentions and maybe some new guys brought in. Maybe you're doing a last cleanup or two down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, last couple of interviews to put the staff together, and that would be about a week and a half from now, but the Broncos got their guy. They got a guy who has some connections to the past regime, to Kerry Kubiak. Also some strong connections to Adam Gase, who worked so successfully here as an assistant coach for six seasons. This hire kind of feels right to me because of those connections to guys like Gary Kubiak and Adam Gase.
Well, I'm going to admit to you, you and I sat here on last week's podcast and basically said we thought it was going to be Vance Joseph. Mm-hmm. I then got a little nervous. I felt like Kyle stole the tide over the weekend. I then started thinking it was going to be Kyle, even though we had said it. I think I was on Channel 4 saying, yeah, Vance has the inside track. And the next thing you know, I was telling everybody on the radio, it's going to be Kyle. It's crazy how the ebb and flow goes up and down when you're rolling through this. And like you, for selfish reasons, not for the Broncos reasons, I am glad the coaching search is over too, because it's hard to just be on edge wondering, is the news going to break? When are you going to hear about it? Then how do you vet this all out? Luckily, this came middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget hearing about Josh McDaniels get hired at like 10:30 at night on a Sunday, and you're trying to scramble around and get stuff updated for your station, so on.
That's
and so
a Broncos
forth.
Tradition.
Yeah,
the Elway trade in 83 breaks during a Nuggets playoff game and press row clears out.
Is that really what happened? I didn't know that.
It is. And Dan Reeves was at the game, and he gets up and leaves. It's game four, and he gets up and leaves during the game, and then the word starts filtering down through press row that the Broncos have made they've pulled off the trade for Elway. The press conference is going to be at 10:30 p.m., and a couple of people that cover that game would later tell me it was like a bomb went off. Only the beat reporters were left. Everyone else, the columnists, the TV guys, the cameras, everybody was gone. So you had that rare sight of an NBA playoff game at which there was barely any local media.
Yeah, it was like the 1940s or something.
Yeah.
There was no TV to be seen.
No TV. The TV was gone. Radio was gone. And then, of course, after the local news went off the air, was closing, they went straight to the press conference.
Well, and for good reason, such a big move in Bronco history. We'll see where this one ranks with that move when it's all said and done. And you never really know. I think you and I have cautioned that. Mm-hmm. I love what I hear from Vance Joseph. I can understand from the things I start to hear about Dave Tobe and Kyle Shanahan. Look, it's the name says enough here around Denver, mm-hmm. and seeing what his offense has done. You'd like to have them all. I'm sure if John Elway had his way, that'd probably be the staff right there. But
yeah,
that's not going to happen.
Kyle coaching the offense, Tobe coaching the special teams. Although Broncos do have a good special teams coaching, Joe DeCamillis.
And you think he stays?
Wouldn't surprise me if he does. He's done a good job. Obviously, I think everyone may look at some of the penalties this past season and Jordan Norwood's struggles to protect the ball in particular. But He did find Khalif Raymond, who proved to be a pretty good returner. He did have his own ball security issues late, but certainly showed a lot of promise. Riley Dixon had the best net average of any rookie punter in NFL history. There are enough promising trends to where I wouldn't be surprised if it's status quo on special teams for 2017.
Do you know, did they cross paths? Did Joseph and DeCamillis cross paths in Houston? We were trying to figure that out earlier, too.
I don't believe they've worked together before.
But, look, if Gary trusted him, Vance has said enough to us, and we had a chance to interview him after the press conference. He made it very clear. I'm here to continue Gary's culture. Because I asked him about that. Here's what's so odd about this job, Andrew. This is not what when most new head coaches come in, we always hear about, well, I'm here to change the culture. I'm here to get you to win. I'm here. You don't have to do that here. You don't need to change any of that here. What you need to do is kind of, it's almost like switching pilots mid-flight, but keep it at the same air level.
I think that's actually one of the reasons why he got the job. I think the connection with Gary Kubiak and, you know, clearly Kubiak was fond of him because back 2 years ago, everyone forgets Vance Joseph, not Wade Phillips. Vance Joseph was the first choice to be defensive coordinator after he'd interviewed to be the head coach. And he decided, and the Bengals did not let him out of that. He alluded to that today, how, you know, he quickly got over it, but his wife was upset for about a year about
her.
being blocked by that.
She wants to live in lovely city, but it's not Denver.
It's an underrated city. There's some good restaurants.
It's the Midwest.
Not everyone is a fan of the chili. I am. They have a great local ice cream shop called Grater's that if you're ever in Cincinnati, you have to. I think it's the black cherry chip. It's delicious. But Cincinnati is not Denver, Colorado. And being a defensive backs coach is not being a coordinator, let alone a head coach. I think now looking back on it, Vance is pretty happy about how things worked out. But certainly that 2015 season, you know, he went and he did a great job with the Bengals. The secondary continued its outstanding work, got a great season out of Reggie Nelson, got the best play out of Reggie Nelson in his entire career. You can also say for Adam, don't call me Pac-Man Jones. But, you know, he was ready to move up. He moved up to Miami. I think people are fixated on the fact that it was the 29th rated defense without taking a really deeper look at the numbers and deeper look at the circumstances. But to me, the thing that he got out of Miami, and this is what I wanted to hear. One thing I've always admired about Adam Gase is his tactical flexibility. It's a phrase I tend to use a lot. 2011, Adam Gase and Mike McCoy rewrite the offense at midseason for Tim Tebow, turn what looked like a year where they were playing for Andrew Luck into a season that gets them to the playoffs and gives them the momentum and the hope, I think, that allowed them to get Peyton Manning the following offseason. So that part of it's there. You know, Gase, he's worked in a Patriot-style offense here when Josh McDaniels came. He was on that staff, worked with the Peyton Manning offense. You know, got a great season out of Jay Cutler in 2015 in Chicago. And Gase is a master at changing things on the fly. He leaned on Vance Joseph a lot for counsel, advice, called him a set. There was John Elway used the term sounding board to describe what Vance was. And I think Adam Gase has used that term as well. And this past season in Miami, they're sitting at 1-4, and you can call it Black Monday, Black Tuesday. They cut three offensive linemen who started a combined 37 games. They changed the offensive line. They changed the offensive emphasis and go heavy on giving the ball to Jay Ajayi. All he does is end up leading the league in rushing the last 12 weeks of the season, and the Dolphins go to the playoffs. But those sort of tough decisions and that ability to change things and realize, okay, this isn't working for what we've got. Let's find something right now to make this work. That's what I wanted to hear from Vance Joseph. That's why I'm very encouraged about this hire, because I want a coach that's going to be willing to change things on the fly when things aren't working, make a lineup change. I think that's what we're going to see from Vance Joseph when things aren't going well. And I think, frankly, a lot of fans want to hear that, too.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Despite the coordinator, I hope a Greg Knapp stays around, because I think that's a guy that has the ability to do what you talked about. I think we saw some of that when he was allowed to call some plays and kind of throw the Raiders off in the one game and so on and so forth. Hey, breaking news that we just got, and this may affect the Broncos overall. As we record this at 2:40 on a Thursday, the Rams have made Sean McVay the youngest head coach in NFL history. He's a 30-year-old offensive coordinator from the Redskins. He's been linked to Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips has been said McVay would like to bring him out there. And for those who may not know, remember last week when the Pro Football Talk rumors broke that Wade may go to Washington? Why was it? Because the tight ends coach is his son working on that staff. Now, I wonder if McVay brings both Phillips.
I'm wondering if Wes Phillips might be Sean McVay's offensive coordinator.
So there's another reason for Wade to head even further west and now join the LA squad. I'm a little surprised by that move. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. It's the Bronco broadcast. Wow, a lot of these teams aren't wanting to wait for two great coaches in McDaniels and Shanahan. And I know it's tough to say McDaniels. I believe McDaniels will be better the second time around. I don't think he'll ever be a fit here again. But those are two very talented, it would seem, coordinators. You know, Andrew, I'm just going to say this. We don't have to harp a lot on it. And it could have affected things here at one point. It's affected this team in the past. I really wish the NFL would not allow coach hiring until after the Super Bowl. It just seems unfair to the pool of coaches. And frankly, we were in this situation a couple years ago where you're starting to bother. How is Kyle Shanahan not paying attention to the jobs that he's losing right now? I just hope the NFL does something because I think it affects playoff preparation.
Well, let's just go back to the Broncos leading into that Colts playoff loss.
And one Adam Gase or Mike McCoy.
You had Adam Gase and you had Jack Del Rio was on the Raiders radar as well. And then all the stuff broke with John Fox in Chicago. You can't tell me that all that didn't have an impact on the way the Broncos played. And I'm going to be fascinated to see what happens with the Falcons this weekend against the Seahawks because we know about that defense, and that's not one where you want to have your focus diverted in any way, shape, or form. Or, you know, or Chris Richard and Pete Carroll are going to come up with a scheme that's going to shut you down. So,
well, and let's be honest about it, Andrew. How can you wouldn't be human? I mean, we were told that Kyle absolutely wanted this job first, and then the Rams were a close second, and now they're both gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care who you are or how dedicated to your craft you are. We all have jobs we prefer over other offers that we could get, and you just lost your top two. It's got to be a little bit disappointing and tough to try to stay focused. So you're right. It'll be interesting to observe that.
Interesting thing, Vance Joseph, actually, he was on the radar for San Diego, was actually scheduled to go, well, San Diego, I made the mistake. I knew it was going to happen. I didn't know it would happen, 6 hours after the official announcement that the Chargers are moving to Los Angeles and one day after it broke on social media and on ESPN as well. Okay, so he was scheduled to interview with what is now the Los Angeles Chargers. By the way, is that a lazy logo they put up or what?
Yeah, that's not trying. I think you already moved your marketing department so they didn't have a room to get together to try to come up with something better.
Okay, but back to Vance Joseph, San Diego. He was also on the radar for San Francisco, and Joseph worked for the 49ers for 6 seasons, and he mentioned something interesting after his press conference. He talked about how he was very comfortable with Jed York, so it wasn't like it was this job or bust for him, that he would have been very comfortable going to San Francisco and being in that situation. So I think that may have put a little bit of urgency on the Broncos to make sure they got this deal done before Joseph went on to his next interview. It's very similar to a free agency process, frankly.
Yeah, it was. And basically John Elway. When John Elway wants you, he's not letting you leave the building. That was something that Mike Shanahan, the elder
Shanahan, he's a closer. There's a reason why he took his football money and made even more money. It increased exponentially by selling cars. He's a closer.
He's a closer. He closed the deal for Denver on this. Again, I think in the weeks to come, maybe we even revisit it when it's all over. Maybe we even will have to talk about whether it affects Atlanta or not. I just think the NFL has to look at the way things are being done. So I just don't think it's an even playing field for everybody, and that's unfortunate right now. It doesn't matter for the Broncos. They got the guy
might
that
help
they wanted.
Might help the Patriots if they, assuming they as
might
16.
Help the Falcons too.
Yeah, assuming the Patriots as heavy favorites against the Texans this weekend, assuming they win, what happens with Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia? I think, you know, obviously we know about McDaniels and what happened here, but it seems like he's paid his penance. He's learned his lessons. He's ready for that second shot, that Bill Belichick got so long ago. I think it's time for McDaniels to get a second shot. Matt Patricia, I think everyone's sleeping on him, but he's had an interview with San Diego, and he's been on some radars. But if the Patriots advance all the way to the Super Bowl, if a team really likes either of those candidates, are they going to be patient? Because it's not just about the head coach, it's about the staff. And all of a sudden, if you make that hire late, you look at the staff, and you're not dealing from the top of the deck, potentially. I remember in 2009, the Bucs fired John Gruden late. They fired him really late. And they end up with Raheem Morris. And with all respect, the staff that they put together, it basically was guys who were left over. I mean, you know, Jim Bates, who struggled mightily here. Jim Bates was the Bucs defensive coordinator to start that 2009 season and had a fate similar to what happened to him in 2007. He eventually had the defensive play calling stripped from him.
Yeah, look, you can't be behind the ball on any of this stuff.
Oh, let's and the Bucks went from 9-7 to 3-13, which tells you how well that move worked.
Right. Well, and there you go. Hey, the bottom line is that you've got to get these staffs together. That's why it's important that you act fast. You know who you want. But look, the Broncos, they know this. They've been, unfortunately, through this a little bit more than I think any of us thought they'd be the last few years. But John Elway made it very clear at the press conference today. So did Joe Ellis. We had three guys. We weren't worried about waves of interviews and talking to every potential candidate out there.
And three guys, I think, all of whom would have done well to some degree here.
Yeah,
honestly.
You would have been satisfied with them. Look, it would have been fascinating, and it's going to be fascinating if Kyle gets a job just to see the comparisons. You bring up Raheem Morris, Josh McDaniel, Raheem Morris, two of the highly thought of young coaches of their class. Neither sustained a career very long at either destination they chose, but I don't know. We'll see. There's something different about Vance Joseph to me. Cause again, I remember Josh's press conference. He won the first press conference. I'm not going to say that Vance came off necessarily as polished as that, but Vance came off to me as genuine. Vance didn't rehearse all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Vance has Mike Singletary, a person who he said influenced him. There was that fire there.
There was
very
single
to business.
The Singletary fire, the Gary Kubiak honesty. I think in terms of the way he deals with players, I think he has a lot in common with Gary Kubiak. And then I think from Adam Gase, the ability to not be wedded to a scheme or a specific football philosophy. He's wedded to flexibility and saying, okay, if it's not working, let's try this. Let's tinker. Let's do something else. That's something that I like to see. He gave a lot of good responses, but the one I keep coming back to in my head is the scheme has to fit the players. Players first, scheme second. Perfect response.
Because he likes to win. Now, again, I'm going to ask you to take the logo off of the next to the name here as I make a comparison, and this is pretty lofty company, but guess what we do to draft picks all the time. Defensive side of the ball coach deals well with players, known to be honest, and just wants to be flexible to win. What great coach does that describe right now?
Some guy in New England.
Right. So there's people want to know the ceiling here. I know Denver fans wanted Kyle Shanahan. I get that. There's a strong championship lineage with him here. But when you put those characteristics together, and I would highlight the most, the guys that tell me they loved playing for Belichick is because despite what we see in the media and you get shown on TV, he's honest, he's genuine, and he's to the point. And really, even T.J. Ward talked to us after this press conference today, and he told me and Ed McCaffrey on our show, I just want him to stay honest with us. Just stay to the point. That's what Coops did. Coops kept us. He had a great quote. He said, Coops always told us, I'm not going to treat you all the same, but I am going to treat you fairly. And I feel like Vance Joseph learned that lesson. And, again, that's something that Bill Belichick does. And I think, look, I hope the Broncos have found a decade-long coach because, frankly, they've had enough change they could use some stability for.
But that's actually the ideal. That's another thing I was thinking about. You know, Elway said he wanted a bright young coach, and Vance Joseph, he's 44 years old, and this is his first head coaching gig, so we can call him young. Maybe not too young. I do think the Rams have gone a bit too young
30?
With Sean
yeah.
McVay. Youngest coach in NFL history. Andy.
Scary.
The youngest head coach in NFL history.
And that's saying something, because there's been quite a few young ones lately.
In that market, where now you have another team coming in, and so you're fighting for eyeballs with a young quarterback in a rugged division. I mean, I think Arizona's going to, you know, Arizona beat Seattle in week 16. I think Arizona, if they can figure out what's going on at quarterback with Carson Palmer, is he back? Do they have to find another option? If Arizona can figure out the quarterback, I think Arizona's got a team that can win 12 games next year. Seattle. That's a rugged division. That's a big challenge, and I'm not sure that Sean McVay, even though he's an incredibly bright mind, he has a great football pedigree, I don't know if he's up to that.
I agree, but see, that's where, in their situation, if they do steal a Wade Phillips from the Broncos, maybe he gets the locker room behind him defensively, and with the talent that Wade would have there.
And Wade, it would be someone that can tell him, okay, you know, don't do that. He can be a sounding board. They need some experienced assistance there, clearly, if they're going to ride Sean McVay.
You know what I love about Vance Joseph is, look, I don't know Sean McVay's history. I don't know his career path, but I can't imagine he's been with a lot of football teams. Vance Joseph made it very clear, I've spent time with a lot of different head coaches and a lot of different offensive coaches. He is a guy that actually, for as young as he is, in his mid-40s. He knows a lot of people in the league. He knows how he's seen it done right. He's seen it done wrong. Again, this isn't normally stuff. When you get those young coaches like McVay, I can't imagine you were exposed to too much at the age of 30 to really kind of weigh out how I would do things mm-hmm. when I get my shot like Vance has been able to.
Let's go back to Vance's first gig, San Francisco, 05. You know who the offensive coordinator was for the 49ers in 05?
05.
Mike McCarthy.
Oh, really?
Mike McCarthy, who's been, who seems to have more than nine lives, but, you know, it's like someone, I got a tweet this week saying the jury is out on McCarthy. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? The guy has been to the playoffs nine times in the last 10 years. He's won a Super Bowl. He developed Aaron Rodgers. He got a revival season out of Brett Favre in 07 when a lot of people were starting to write him off. And you're telling me the jury is out? Come on. Come on. But McCarthy is an interesting example because he got hired for the Packers job when the 49ers had the worst offense in football in terms of total yardage. Again, you look at some other numbers, not so bad, and they were, remember, they had a rookie, a then rookie in Alex Smith that they were working in. But it's interesting to look back on that and say that's one of the people to whom Vance Joseph was exposed. Mike Nolan, very good defensive mind. We saw it here in 09 when he was the coordinator. Mike Singletary, you'd mention what he got from him. Kubiak, Wade, being around Wade Phillips, he actually said he texts Wade Phillips multiple times a week that they talk, that they're, you know, they're still pretty close. And Marvin Lewis is someone who won where it seemed impossible to win in Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati had some bright, even though they struggled in the 90s, early 2000s, they had some bright minds there. They had, you know, Bruce Coslett, they had Dick LeBeau that couldn't get that ship moving. And Marvin Lewis did. He learned a lot from being around Marvin. And finally, I think Adam Gase, I think, was kind of the final piece of the puzzle of making Vance Joseph ready for this job.
Well, if anything else, he learns that losing stinks. Because he said it to us. He's not afraid of the expectations. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid of the pressure that's going to come with this job. He's well aware of that pressure. You could see that. But he said, hey, I like winning. Who doesn't? You know, and again, this is such a unique opportunity. I'm not sure. Denver fans, I think, have grown used to change. Change at the quarterback. Unfortunately, change at the coaching position.
Six and ten seasons.
Yeah, yeah, that's too many, frankly. But
including Eric Stoussville.
They keep winning. Yeah, yeah. They keep going. But the bottom line is there's a lot of winning to be had here. And this isn't, like we said, you're not recreating a culture. You're keeping the culture the same. And as long as I think he keeps his key players on his side, he'll be just fine. And you know what I also liked? We'll see how the quarterback thing works out. But he wasn't afraid to say, I know more about Trevor Siemian right now. Let's just stop the we're going to immediately change the quarterback talk here. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. He made it clear it's an open competition. But I like how he said, don't discount what the young kid did that did start last year.
And let's see what happens. And he talks about the scheme fitting the players. Let's see then what happens in the scheme. If it ends up being something that is a mix of what works for Trevor and what works for Paxton, if that's the case, then you're talking about a competition on more equitable terms. You're also talking about, you know, there may be some dominoes that fall in terms of what you're looking at on the offense, what you're looking at on the offensive line, what you're looking at with tight ends and fullbacks. Maybe you need to find a younger slot receiver. Khalif Raymond could be that guy that I think showed a lot of promise. And the thing that Khalif, we're going to write about this on DenverBroncos.com in a few days. Khalif talked to me about how he went against Chris Harris Jr. every day in practice. And Chris, you know, there's no one better at covering slot receivers than Chris. And it was trial by fire for Khalif Raymond. I'm very, if this offense goes in the direction of more three wide stuff, I'm very fascinated to see what Khalif Raymond brings. And by the way, Khalif Raymond was one of the players sitting down front for Vance Joseph's press conference today.
Yeah, and it's funny because Khalif has told me that Chris would tell him whether he ran a route right or not.
Yeah.
He shallowed out too much. He didn't run it deep enough. That's Chris Harris.
Isn't Chris just incredible?
Chris is incredible.
He's like the he's the ultimate coach's dream, coach on the field. He's actually a guy that I look at and say if he wants to coach after he's done, he can and will and could be very good at it.
Well, you know what's funny? A guy that has the mind to do it. Now, does he have the personality or desire? I don't know. But Akeem Tlaib's in that category, too. People mm-hmm. do not understand, I think, how much this guy watches tape and how much players will tell you. He's always one of the smartest guys on the field mm-hmm. as far as what the other team is doing. He works his rear end off. Now, that doesn't mean he wants to do it when he's done. But he has the mind to do it if he wants to. By the way, as you mentioned, slot receivers. I wouldn't mind if, it's about time we had a famous number five maybe here that could play a little running back, play a little slot. Maybe you use a first-round draft choice on him. I don't know.
That will depend.
Famous name.
That will depend, I think,
just asking
on
for it. Christian McCaffrey. Let's do it.
I think that will depend on what they do in free agency. If they can do what they usually do, which is put together a starting 22 based on what they have and what they pick up in free agency that they know they can ride with, and then they have the flexibility to pick the best player available, then maybe you are talking about Christian McCaffrey at number 20 or thereabouts. What I would like to see from this offense, and that's where the coordinator hire is going to be interesting, I would like to see this offense be able to create more matchup problems for the defense. Christian McCaffrey, okay, they say, I know the naysayers about him, too small, this, blah, blah, blah. I, Andy, have not seen a back or receiver with better football instincts on the fly, ability to adjust to a defense, ability to adjust to a defender coming in. Those instincts, the feel, I haven't seen a guy like that in years.
Hey, he's slippery. You don't compile the stats that he's compiled in college without being good at what you do, and he's very good.
In a conference with a lot of speed and a lot of athleticism.
The Pac-12's all about the speed, yep. That's for sure. You're right, and athletes. And I'll tell you this. Obviously, I've met the kid, okay? I work with his dad. Met him on a couple of occasions.
And we know the Broncos know him very well, right. Obviously.
For those that say he's too slight for what would be my question. Because I'll tell you what, a guy I've got a ton of respect
Wes for. Wes Welker was slight. He's worked out
bigger
all right.
He's bigger than Wes. He's bigger than Brandon Stokely. Mm-hmm. He's thicker in the shoulders. And love those players. It's not a slight of them at all. But I'm just trying to give people an idea in their mind. He isn't as small as people make him sound. I think because he's not 6'5", you get the idea that he's not. He can play ball, and he's big enough to handle the punishment, and he's big enough to run inside. He's big enough to motion outside. If it's a Mike McCoy, I don't know much about Bill Musgrave. Let's say McCoy's the OC. I can only imagine what he can create for a weapon like that.
He's McCoy, one of the best in this league at using what he's got and creating mismatches. And we'll talk more about Christian McCaffrey, I'm sure, in the next few months as we get into the draft. Another guy I love out of Virginia Tech, he liked to turn pro early, Bucky Hodges. He's a tight end.
Love the name.
Yeah, he can line up wide. He can line up in the slot. Again, you're talking about players that you can move around. They're,
versatile, yes. Attack, score points, everything Vance Joseph described.
They're, to use a chess analogy, you're not talking about the rook or the bishop, which is, governed to move in one direction. You're talking about these guys are queens. They can go. They can go anywhere. They're the most powerful pieces on the board. Create problems.
I like it.
Appreciate you, Andy. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew.